I told Matthew what you guys said about Max, and he said, "Tell them apples are rubbish."
Oh yeah, they're such rubbish. They never do things. Is always struggling with.
It's funny how me and Mary are always, and Debbie for that matter, always ready to go, but they got it. Hang on, it's just doing an update.
I just turn it on and I'm ready to go.
I'm just gonna reboot.
Take it out of the box, plug it into the wall, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, that's it. I've plugged mine into the wall because I just thought, fine, you know.
I'm here.
Yay!
They keep trying to proclaim Max to be superior.
Apples are rubbish.
Apples are rubbish, yeah. Like I say, we've been sitting for 15 minutes with our Max working. Well, even my rubbish Mac hasn't crashed yet.
Rude comments about the computers that we're ready to go on.
Whatever, you could have started without me. I'm just saying.
Are you in a phone?
I'd rather wait for you, Matthew.
Matthew, are you in a phone booth? That's what it sounds like.
No, I'm actually sitting in my office where I normally am, currently having to share a chair with two cats.
Oh, I'm sharing mine with one.
The cats.
I've got three.
I have two. No, I have three cats on the bed behind me.
Well, I've got one in my lap and one over.
What's this? The who's got the most cats competition? I haven't got any.
Oko and Serafina are curled up with each other.
I have four cats.
This is BBC One. Actually, let's have a see what the BBC announcer said. So I didn't actually get to hear this because I was already, it was already on when I.
This is BBC One in the sub.
Is that what he said then, Debbie?
No, it said this is BBC One.
Really? Okay, let's find out. Let's see. If you're right, I'll give you a point to start the quiz with.
Probably not then.
No, dear. Now you're backtracking, aren't you?
It's too bad, Andy.
There we go. Too bad, Andy. This is the BBC introduction to Doctor Who this week.
Now the BBC.
Charlie to the rescue in Casualty. First on BBC One, the Vikings are coming.
There you go. That was it. First on BBC One, the Vikings are coming. With it's rather irritable. Hang on, I wasn't going to say it. So we haven't started recording yet. Because I can't remember what episode this is.
280. Yep.
It's too bad that Andy couldn't join us today because I found a series of short videos on YouTube.
I bet you did, but I bet
called,
they're not appropriate,
called
are they?
The Laws of Cricket with Stephen Fry.
Oh, I'm glad we didn't discuss that.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Hey, did you guys see Reese is going to be a father?
What? Yes. Yeah, I saw that today.
The dirty little stop out. What's he been up to?
What? He's too young.
Yes, there's pictures of the baby shower that they're having for him and his girlfriend.
What? He's been shagging Adam.
He's been shagging Adam?
Right, shush. No, this is a momentous thing. I've got to go. Alicia's watching The X Factor in the other room. I'm going to. Hey, Alicia, do you remember Reese Parton? Remember Reese? Hello? Wakey. Don't shrug your shoulders. It doesn't work in an audio presentation. Just say yes or no. Now, I'll turn the telly off.
Oh.
Right. Would it surprise you that Reese Parton is going to be a daddy? That doesn't work on an audio presentation. Stop shrugging your shoulders.
Sleeping.
Oh, God. She's
he
not
may
sleeping
not.
Yet,
and he used to be the world's most prolific commentator and feedback provider,
joiner of all podcasts.
By the way,
there.
All that bit that you just said won't be on because I was interviewing Alicia in the other room, rather badly, as we say, because she didn't say anything. Right. Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 280. I'm Adam, and. Oh, can I just start that again? Because I got that completely wrong. Oh.
Okay.
Hang on, I've lost my quote. Right. Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I forgot what it was.
Episode 280.
No, shut up. Shush, Rush. Right. Stop laughing. Oh, my microphone's falling over. Hang on, I need some more tape.
Didn't hear while you were updating. was all this tape ripping going on because Adam has been, I don't know, adhering his microphone to something.
We need a picture of this.
Yeah, we do. What
Hello,
are
shush.
You sticking it to?
Shush. I'm sticking it to what it's normally on. Trouble isn't, oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, I've got an email from Ian Kirk.
Right. Oh, good.
Shush.
It's going to be like one of those Dalek things stuck to your forehead.
Shh.
UK present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 280. I, with a mounting sense of futility, I'm Adam, and here's Debbie Melrose.
Yes, you're the very next thing on the list.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan. Mary Lang.
Winning is all about looking happier than the other guy.
And Matthew Kressel, just to win the quiz.
Time will tell. It always does.
And this week we're going to be looking
no
at an episode...
No one liked my quote.
What?
No one liked my quote.
I laugh.
How do you know nobody likes your quote?
How do you know we don't like it?
Yeah.
Everybody was concentrating on their own quotes.
Well, we all had our quotes to put in there.
Yes, we all had our quotas.
I'll hop them.
Okay. Oh, golly, that was such a great...
Wasn't Kirby's the best one, everyone?
It was swell.
Oh, yes. How did you come up with that one?
Give him a ding. It was brilliant. Oh, yeah.
Oh, now he's going to moan at us for being sarcastic.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, Kirby.
I'm not.
Sorry either. We all had good quotes.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, I know mine was the best, but I don't like to brag about it. Hey, everybody, Matthew's on the show.
Yay!
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I have to say the only reason I'm here is because rehearsal got cancelled and moved till tomorrow, so otherwise I would be reading the Scottish play right now.
Oh, cool.
So I can see we fall quite low down in your list of priorities.
Ah!
However, if it was the podcast you're going to be plugging later on, it'd be a different story, wouldn't it?
Puck will make amends.
Wouldn't it? Hello?
Yes. Hello?
I said, we fall quite low down in your list of priorities. However, if it was the podcast you're going to be plugging later on, it would be a different story, wouldn't it?
Well.
Well.
Of course it would. Come on.
What podcast could that be?
Oh, shut up, Mary.
Stories from the Vortex, available at storiesfromthevortex.blogspot.com. Also available on iTunes.
Yes.
Who uses iTunes anyway? I just go
shut up, Kirby.
RSS feed.
Right, Girl Who Died. Who actually wrote it? I can't remember who wrote it now. Debbie, who wrote
it? Jamie Matheson and Stephen Moffat.
And can anyone tell which part Stephen Moffat wrote?
Probably the bit where we find out why the Doctor's got his face.
Comments you'll hear from me.
The bit that was shoehorned in, yes.
Yes. I've got 1, 2, 3 down. Of
what three bits are written by Stephen Moffat?
The parts that I could definitely identify.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll come to those later. Yeah, so Clara appears to be out in space in a spacesuit, and the Doctor appears to be trying to rescue her, and he does indeed rescue
no,
her.
No, he's not.
He does. No, he doesn't seem to be attempting it at all.
He does, because he materialises the TARDIS around her.
Directions.
He materialises the TARDIS around her, so he does...
Eventually, but he doesn't seem to be rescuing her until he actually lifts the helmet off of her.
I was going to say, because it's like, oh, I'm off doing my own thing over here. Never mind that you might be dying in space. I've got my own thing going on.
Yeah, there's four wall fleets after me. I love that.
Yes.
What are those weird things inside her suit, then?
A war sprite or something.
A what?
A love sprite.
A love sprite.
Yeah. A love sprite. Right. Pardon me. So, yeah.
Add that to the questions.
Hey? I don't get any ding to that.
Yeah, I'm surprised that wasn't a question.
Yeah.
Well, who knows if it isn't?
Anyway, so they very quickly and sort of almost unnoticed.
Wipe his foot, doesn't he?
Pardon?
He goes out to wipe his foot.
Yeah, because he's trodden in something.
Stomped it out.
Yeah, a bit like the death of that thing in Crimson Aura. That got stamped on, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. It's quite funny. No, it got poked with a walking stick.
Yeah, when you see Clara stood there when he walks out, there's absolutely nothing messy around the console whatsoever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's been stomping it in
How
and squelching it all up.
How can you get?
Well, maybe it's all stuck to his boot.
I wanted to see
not being funny.
Something or some green goo
Debbie,
or something. You
Debbie,
know,
it maybe so... it's invisible.
Debbie?
Yes?
What does TARDIS stand for?
Relative Dimension Space Machine.
So, Relative Dimensions. That explains it away. Mm-hmm. So, they very quickly get attacked by a load of Vikings. You know, the thing that slightly disappointed me about these Vikings was the horned helmet.
The horns,
which we did allude to and take the mickey out of the Time Meddler about. And I was a bit disappointed.
Space helmet for a cow.
Mm. There was no need for having horned helmets, was there, Matthew?
I'm the one who's brought up the horned helmet problem before.
Yeah, but I accept it in the 1960s. They weren't as educated as we are now.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Doctor Who has never been the most historically accurate program ever made.
Really?
Surprise.
And let's be honest. What is the point of having a stereotyping cliche if you can't use a stereotyping cliche in Doctor Who?
I did like the kind of the circles around their eyes and stuff like that.
The makeup, yeah.
The makeup.
Yeah.
Okay. But what I liked was the Viking village. I thought that was beautifully constructed.
No comment about breaking the sonic sunglasses, which unfortunately we saw in the preview, are back next week.
Well,
yes.
He can fix them. He's the doctor, for goodness sake.
I love that because he thinks he's being all threatening and it's just snap, there you go.
Well, it was one of those moments because, you know, there's been the fit throwing in some corners of the internet with people going, bring back the sonic screwdriver. And I just went... They knew it was coming, and they just thought they'd have their moment. So,
I mean, this was filmed how long ago? 6 months.
So 6 months.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Way before we even knew about the sunglasses.
Anyway, back to the story. The bit where they all arrive back at this beautiful village reminds me, although Maisie Williams hasn't got ginger hair, but and she's not Celia Imrie. But
yes,
a film
I know what
called
you're going to say.
Highlander.
You're back.
I'm talking about a film called Highlander.
Yep.
Then, of course, obviously, Connor McLeod is an immortal. Oh, little link there. But slightly different because it's the woman who becomes immortal and not the bloke. But you know what I'm getting at. Do you think there's a bit of influence there?
Mm.
No.
I think you're reading too much in there, Adam.
Yeah.
I know it's not a Scottish show. But it's a very similar feel to it, to Highlander, that particular scene. No? Okay, well, it does to me. Look, who's right? It's got to be me. So, yes, the Doctor...
Moving on.
The Doctor and Clara arrive at the village and Maisie Thingamajig is being a bit mysterious because she has some sort of... Something strange about her, isn't there? She's got some sort of...
She believes that she's bad luck on the village.
Right. So she's sort of got like strange powers, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of psychic powers, yeah.
Yeah, she has, though, because later on in the story she conjured up that serpent thing, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With the help of the doctor.
I do like the doctor's line in this scene. It's like people think, you know, premonition is just remembering in the wrong direction.
Direction, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. No, that was lovely.
Unfortunately, I haven't been able to figure out where this village is that they filmed. They obviously didn't film that whole thing. They didn't build that whole thing.
Probably somewhere in Wales.
Yeah, obviously. I was reminded of Trial of a Time Lord, where they went and found that one village, which has since been moved. One of these days, I'll find out where this is. There's an extra on BBC's YouTube channel where Maisie Williams is holding a camera, and she's kind of talking about some of this.
Yeah, they gave her a camera, didn't they, for behind the scenes? Yeah.
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen any of those behind the scenes things, but I think they might be with the series thing you get with iTunes when you buy the series.
I think I'm going to be buying this series.
You do?
Mm.
I bought the last series.
Every series, but this one I'm actually looking forward to buying.
Oh. Yes.
Well, I've already got it. I bought it before it aired.
What?
I bought it before it aired. Send me the episodes.
I like to watch and then wait till it's a bit cheaper.
I didn't think it was that expensive.
I didn't know the price ever changed.
I didn't think it was that expensive.
If you give it some time after the box sets come out, the price drops, particularly online on websites like Amazon, for example.
Exactly. It's my birthday and Christmas coming, so it's all Amazon and iTunes vouchers all the way, so I'll wait till then.
I think it was only about 20 quid. I don't think it was that expensive.
Here in the US, the season box sets are something in the $60 to $70 range is the suggested retail price.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't think it was that expensive. Bearing in mind, you get all the episodes plus the little extras and the little mini episodes as well. Oops, excuse me.
I do have a powerful need to eat every now and then.
Eh?
Yes. Anyway. Plus, you need to figure out how you're going to get to Kanji Tea.
No, I'm not now, am I? Because of Adam going to this gig.
That's right. Blame me.
I have to present the show from here, don't I?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
It's true, yeah.
You were longing for an excuse.
I'm just saying, you can come to Con K instead. You've got a ticket, Debbie.
I'll see how this
might be a bit difficult doing the show, though. Might be a bit difficult doing the show.
No, we're talking about Con K.
Yeah, I know, but we'll be fine. Eh? Am I at that one?
Cerberus, North Alabama Doctor Who Convention.
Hang on, you're confusing me now. Which is the one Debbie was saying she can't do because she's got to record the show?
Con GT.
And that's in Tennessee.
So what were you talking about?
Cerberus.
Okay, well, that's very confusing going from one to the other very quickly without really warning me.
No, it's not.
I was going to say, five people on the Skype call and all of us followed the conversation minus one person.
Yeah, because I'm trying to concentrate on what we're doing, which was reviewing this episode of Doctor Who.
Which has been, my video has been going on and on now. They're already up on the spaceship.
No,
we haven't talked about it in five minutes.
About the blooming spaceship. Right.
That was a very Monty Python moment when the Odin head arrived.
Yeah, I was going to say that he tries to pretend to be Odin, which is quite
funny. With his eye patch, I expect him to go, Mr. Fibuli.
Yes, that's true, actually, yes. You know, I thought it was John Hurt for a bit. In the first
really? It was originally supposed to be Brian Blessed, but he had to pull out at the last minute. So David Schofield
said.
Crying out loud, Kirby.
A predictable.
And Justin, I suddenly remember why I do Shakespeare plays on Sundays instead of this podcast.
I'm sure you could use the same phrase while practicing Shakespeare.
I was going to say, because nobody practicing Shakespeare ever makes a joke, yeah.
Anyway, some strange armoured things arrive.
Oh, they were brilliant. I thought it was going to be Jadoon for a minute.
Yes, it is.
Was exactly the same, except for the helmet being more sort of welding masky.
Yeah. That is what they look like.
Yeah.
You know, something happens,
Warriors sent down look a bit Jadoon is what I've written.
And Maisie Williams goes a bit weird. And then Clara and her get sort of transported up to the ship with a load
of... She's trying to get, Maisie, to get her chains off by using the sonic sunglasses.
Which does work.
It does work, but unfortunately the chains drop off exactly at the point where they're teleported, which kind
exactly. of... Exactly. Oh, the irony.
Yeah. Yes.
More the bronze.
Yes, they were
it?
Iron chains.
No, they were iron.
Buttish.
So, yeah, they end up on this spaceship, and of course, the red shirted Viking gets zapped.
Yes, the one in the red shirt.
You know, it would have been scarier if they hadn't turned the lights on in there. They could have just destroyed them all, and we wouldn't have had any story.
Yeah, and then, of course, I'm moving on. We have the Star Wars homage with the wall. Coming in to crush them.
Right.
Now, Clara and Ashildur go over and start trying to pry open that door.
Yeah, so
and they go right
shot?
Past the axe that was left on the floor by the guy who got by the red shirt.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, I noticed
would it come
that.
Handy, wouldn't it?
Proved that that works.
Yeah.
Because he'd already done it. Exactly. Yeah. It's like, okay.
Mind you, they didn't want to hang around in front of those sort of zapper things, did they?
They were powering up. It was like, okay. You know, it's like
yeah, you time. Still going to stand in front of them?
Yeah. Duck.
Anyway, the doctor comes up with some plans, and apparently somebody on Facebook's not very happy because the doctor has become less grumpy and more like Matt Smith.
Yes, I'd seen that.
I didn't see that.
I love his
coffee. I haven't seen that one. I've seen a whole bunch of people just kind of angry at Doctor Who in general recently.
I love his costume.
The usual suspects seem to be angry.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
I love the costume. I like his trousers. They're very First and Second Doctor-ish.
Yes. They are, aren't they? I love that. Anyway, I like the harkbacks in his outfit that we're getting a lot more of. I do like that. Like he's just gone down to his closet and gone, oh, I'm just going to stick those on. Those old things will fit, you know. Just nice.
Mm. So, yeah, Ashilda. Is it Ashilda, you said?
Ashilda, yeah.
Ashilda.
And Clara sort of come face to face with the sort of leader of these alien things. Who drinks something. What did he drink again? I can't remember what it was.
It's the testosterone.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
Testosterone.
That's what he was nicking all the Viking men for, wasn't it?
Warrior juice.
Why that works on an alien, who knows?
Why wouldn't it?
Well, it's what it reminded me of, and Mary, forgive me for using the dreaded Q word, is anybody who's seen the 1979 Quatermass, that's what the aliens in that are doing, is they're harvesting humans for some reason.
Yes.
Well, there were other things like the Rani. There was something in the brain that she wanted, wasn't it? If you remember right, there's always something in the human.
Yeah, some part of the human makeup that is irresistible to aliens. Yeah.
I was going to say, there's something about us that makes us like intergalactic cattle, apparently.
Yes,
yes,
it's just part of the food chain.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the doctor refers to his 2,000-year diary. I'm pretty sure he had a 5,000-year diary.
I'm quite surprised about
on the previous occasion.
Well, he's only over 2,000, so it makes kind of sense.
Yeah, but why would he have had a 5,000-year diary initially? And, so Clara and Ashilda are returned to the village after Clara's accidentally sort of invited them to have war.
No, Ashilda.
Oh, was it Ashilda, was it?
Yeah, Clara.
Sorry, I've only seen this
once. Situation and Maisie Williams is going, no, we're going to fight you.
Sorry.
Yeah, come on, and have a go.
I've only seen this once. I apologise. All right, Matthew, do you accept my apology?
I accept your apology.
My policy. Policy?
Yeah. Do you accept the policy? Yeah.
Yes, I do have a policy for this show. The policy is I'm right.
You get the baby crying.
So,
yeah,
I love that. I do like the doctor.
How about a ding for the Stephen Moffat right there?
There you go.
What, the baby bit?
Yeah, yep.
It's baby.
I like that. And of course, it sort of links back to a bit of Stormageddon-ish, which is why it'd be a shame that Andy's not here.
I'm sure that was not in the original. That's one of the Stephen Moffat editions.
I thought it worked better here than it did when they've done it in the past. At least I felt there was a story reason for doing it this time.
Yeah, I mean, the baby's the best poet in the universe.
Apparently.
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
I just wonder what little Zach Nunny would be saying to
please, say, Daddy, turn off the cricket.
Get that microphone away from
turn off the cricket.
Set down the wine, turn off the cricket.
Yeah, in the past, the baby talk was just to make some snarky jokes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like, no, bow ties are cool, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like it. It's consistent.
Mm.
Anyway, the doctor comes up with a plan.
I do like the mummy and the nut mummy.
Yeah, not mummy.
Yeah.
Yes. And mind you, it does come up with a plan, but initially he's a bit sort of, I can't be bothered, I'm going to leave them. And
yes, he was very contradictory in this one.
He thought, I'm going to leave him. And then
he leapt from writer to writer.
There was a couple of times where he initially wasn't going to stay, and then Clara sort of persuaded him to stay. And there was something minor that happened, made him think, oh, I will stay.
I like it when he names the Vikings he's training.
Yes.
Yeah, Hilton, yeah. Heidi. Yeah.
Lofty, Daphne, Noggin, Noggs, Easy Top, and Heidi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked Heidi.
Again, that sort of bit where he's training them reminded me a little bit of Merlin. I don't know if you've seen that series. It's a very good series.
There was more men in tights, I thought.
What, Merlin?
That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
The training sequence from
Men
in Tights.
Some of it is Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I know it's not the same period, but it does remind me quite a lot.
Except we never got to see Chuckles named.
Yeah, what is your quest?
So yeah. Yes.
Heidi, yeah, Heidi's upgraded phobia to fainting at the mere thought of blood. I like
yes.
This.
yeah.
Everybody can pick up their the real swords. Cut to a little while later.
Do we find that
you would never ever put a sword in dirt, point down, and expect that's not treating your sword well.
Not at
okay,
all.
Kirby. I'll bear that in mind.
I used to be in the SCA. I know about swords.
Okay, thank you. So do we find out that Shilda's a bit of an artist? She makes puppets and statues and things like that.
Yeah, because the Doctor hears her play acting, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Odin, telling Odin off.
Yes.
And then he comes up with the idea.
Yes, the idea. Yeah. The big idea. And there's also a point that was like a eureka moment for him. So he sets up this whole theatrical thing.
Electric eels.
Yeah. Which is okay.
Which are not native to that area.
Yeah, oh, I was going to say, where'd you get them from?
And who decide to flash their electricity just at the moment the Doctor talks about them.
No. He heard from the baby about...
I was going to say, the baby is the one who originally mentions it. It takes the Doctor a while to suddenly...
The Doctor is announcing his plan. You know, those eels are just kind of swimming around. But then when he says, electric eels, you know.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
It's dramatic effect. I will forgive it.
Yes.
Yes.
Dramatic effect. So, yeah, the aliens do arrive. And, of course, the Doctor's plan come to fruition with a little bit of help from Mashilda and her. She had some sort of mask on then, didn't she?
Serpent, yeah.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it kills
the mask. It's one of the helmets from the whoever they are.
Yeah, because Odin comes down, faced a convincing hologram. I love that. Mm.
Yes,
but like I say, the effort or something that happening kills Ashilda.
You've skipped quite far ahead.
Yeah, because you keep talking.
Right into this.
Yeah, well, we haven't even crossed the hoopla with the helmets.
Hold on, then. Go across the hoopla with the helmets, then, Debbie.
The fact that they took out the silvery stuff, as he calls it, from Clara's very handy,
her space suit.
Astronauts, yes. Then they're all having a party and playing hoopla and just conveniently have it attached, and the helmets conveniently have a point where you can actually attach the hoopla and the magnets lift them up and you get some cracking monsters.
Yeah, between all of this, for some reason I keep thinking Beowulf.
Yes, no, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's no some reason about it, it's Vikings.
Well, it's also the serpent in the hall, they have a party, they lure them in, they trap them.
That's true, actually, yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Okay. And I just wanted to let Kirby know, here's your sea serpent again, the one that appears on the wall, and it seems to be a running theme.
And also,
we saw it in the trailers for the entire series.
Yeah, but the serpent, I remember the there was three characters on the mural.
Yeah, but they were Star Trek references.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, they were Star Trek references, the characters in the mural. There was a red shirt, yellow shirt, blue shirt.
Oh, I thought, okay, never mind.
I bet you the boat was called
Ed. And there was another woman crew member in its mouth.
Ah. Was that Uhura?
Blue shirt.
Oh, blue shirt.
Oh, that means she doesn't die.
Yeah.
Yeah, it always got me. Did you ever see that Star Trek episode when Uhura gets her mind wiped? And she's got to be completely re-educated from scratch. And by the next episode of Star Trek, she's back to normal. Amazing.
Yes, I remember that.
Because it was 60s television. They didn't believe in story arcs.
Mm. Yeah.
But anyway.
I was thinking the other day, you used to be able to tune in to almost any of those 60s TV shows, and you could catch up with whatever's going on because everything was... Everything happened in a self-contained story.
Yeah, everything. They hit the reset button at the end of every episode and they start over again, and that's very rare even in
I was thinking of starting to watch Wild Wild West again, and those are all, you could start anywhere.
Hmm.
Okay. That's a show I've never
seen. I actually thought for a while that this episode was standalone.
It's slightly standalone, isn't it?
I was like, oh, what to be continued? How? That was beautiful. Come back to her another time. You know, it was like, the way they ended it.
See, I think I'd say this was a standalone, to be fair. I know it's linked to the next episode, but it's very much a standalone story.
I was going to say, compared to Magician's Apprentice and, what was the last one? I can't remember off the top of my head. This is not good.
Amazing.
Thank you. and Before the Flood, it was certainly far more standalone.
Mm.
And in fact, as you said, you could have moved what's going to be the next episode. You could have moved that to somewhere later in the season, and it would have been fine.
I have a feeling
we're going to see her again, and yet another episode more towards the end. I've got no proof of that. I just have this feeling.
Well, apart from
you,
next
also
week,
thought that Maisie Williams was going to be Romana for the longest
only
time.
For about 3 or 4 days.
Now she's Captain Jack.
Yes, she's Captain Jack, which is, ding, that's another one of the Stephen Moffat ones.
Yeah, I mean, she even comes back to life the way he does.
Yeah.
Excuse me, are you saying that even though it implied she's in the next episode, she's not in the next episode?
No.
No, she's in the next episode.
Exactly, so what are you going about later on in the series?
Kirby's implying that she's going to be in a third episode later in the season.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Potentially. Well, which
I would imagine they're probably trying to bring her back quite regularly if she's an immortal character.
Yeah.
Like Captain Jack.
It sort of implies that she has a certain sinisterness about her.
But I did think when he brought her back to life that I think the Doctor might have made one of the biggest mistakes of his career.
Yes.
Right.
But he does that, doesn't he?
Yes, but a big one.
Yes.
With her sort of immortality, she can get older with less of an issue as Captain Jack and Barrowman is starting to look much older.
I don't think she's
really
getting older.
Jump back into the role that he's
bearing in mind that she's a highwayman in the next episode, and she that was like a few hundred years later. So I don't think she gets older.
No, they could. Well, she may get older in a slightly
very slow way.
Decelerated rate. Mm. Thank you. That was the word I was looking for. Mm. Decelerated rate. So they could jump to another, say, 500 years in the future, and she could still be wandering around potentially. Of course, they may kill her off in the next episode. I have no idea. So all this conversation could be very mute.
Yeah, because he says barring an accident, you know.
Well, that's what they originally said about the Time Lords as well, way back in the War Games, and we know how that's turned out.
And I have not seen her in Game of Thrones, you know, so I did not have the excitement about her being in this. So I wonder, in Game of Thrones, does she look just as young as she does in this episode?
Yes. Yeah, she is meant to be very young.
She started when she was, what, 12?
Yeah,
that was what Capaldi was saying in the cinema interview for the series 8 finale. Whatever. said in the interview they did that she'd been doing Game of Thrones since she was 12, so it was like having having a really young, precocious actor on set, but in a good way. Because she actually celebrated her 18th birthday while they were filming this, so that if we can do a quick look on Wikipedia, we can find out exactly when they were filming.
You trust Wikipedia.
I just wonder, because if they're going to keep bringing her back, you know, how long can they keep her looking this young?
Well, like I said, she could probably age a little bit through the years and still be the same character if they don't kill her off next week.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the story. The Doctor, Clara and the Doctor make them run away, the aliens, because Clara recorded the whole embarrassing incident.
I hope people like the video I posted from Babel Color.
No, you must hope on.
Huh?
Never mind, I was joking.
I loved it. I saw it.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, Babel Color made a video to that tune, to the and of all the silly little scenes throughout the years of Doctor Who. It's funny.
Yes. So anyway, well, they're all slapping each other on the back and celebrating the victory. And then I think Ashilda's dad goes over and finds out that she's dead. The Doctor's quite upset.
She's dead.
Dead, Jim.
she was born 15th April 1997.
Yeah, so they would have been filming this about 6 months ago.
She's younger than me.
Yeah, she's two months older than Alicia.
20 years younger.
She's about 6 months older than my youngest.
She sure doesn't look 18. She's more like
she doesn't.
And then we get a little bit of a montage of the Doctor remembering the fires of Pompeii and Catherine Tate and David Tennant.
And ding, the third Stephen Moffat.
I was going to say, if there's a moment in this episode that was definitely written by Stephen Moffat, it's this entire scene right here.
Yes. But I liked it.
I did too. I really feel that, you know, Capaldi's Doctor has been lacking a defining moment, a moment where I think he gets to stand up and say, this is who my Doctor is. Yeah. And I feel like that this was his moment. It's taken him almost a season and a half to get to that point, but he's finally found his moment. I mean, I was about ready to cheer when he goes, I'm the Doctor and I save people. And I'm like, yes.
Mm. Yeah. But I say,
I don't have anything against those three Stephen Moffat sections. I'm just saying that in this story, you can tell where those Stephen Moffat segments are.
What got me was how much younger he looks in that scene. Yes. That little flashback.
Eight years ago?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, we just watched that one the other day.
I love that. Yeah.
For the heck of it. We just turned it on.
Yeah.
So, still one of my least favorite new series episodes, but at least it's got a bit more relevance now, I suppose.
Well, the Doctor nicks some sort of technology from the helmets of one of the...
Mayan medical kit.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that gets absorbed into the head of a shielder who does a Captain Jack...
The new Captain Jack,
and he sort of slightly flippantly considers the consequences of the whole thing while slipping away into the forest.
Silence is worse in a Scottish accent.
And
I like the fact you gave her two, so she finds that she can't go through immortality without a certain someone. She can give it to them,
and then she'll find out whoever that is a complete
toe rag.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. So who did she give the other one to? That is quite an interesting twist, isn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe she does give it.
I don't think she will have by the time we meet her in the next one. I don't think she'll have given it to anyone yet. I think she'll be hanging on to it still.
She'll give it to Clara. So essentially that's the end of the episode. I'd say what I think of it. It was okay. It's certainly not as good as the two previous stories we've seen, but... it was better than I thought it would be. I was more enjoyable than I thought. But I didn't think I'd like it at all because I just thought, oh, God, it's going to be one of these boring battle stories. But there was a bit more to it than that. There's a bit more depth to it. But on the whole, it was okay. And although it's the worst of the series so far, it's still better than about 99% of the stuff we had last year.
Correct. Totally agree.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's basically... And I liked the fact that it was fairly standalone as well. And I love the end bit where the camera goes all the way around her and, she starts off with all... Her facial expression was all, like, happy and sort of rather excited, and then it kind of panned around and it was slightly evil. A bit like the Derek Jacobi thing when he became the Master. That was quite clever.
I didn't take that to be evil. I took it to be unhappiness because all that stuff happening around her to me was like the passing of time.
I took
that as her stood there watching time pass and her feeling lovely and her feeling determined by the end of it.
Mm. Yeah, but it's still quite good. I liked it. What did you think then, Matthew?
I quite enjoyed it. I mean, I didn't quite know what it would be going into it. I've never seen Game of Thrones either, though all of my friends I know keep telling me I really need to
watch it. I've never seen it either.
I need to watch it.
Pardon?
I'll get around to it one of these days. So, but along with the 500 other TV shows I've never watched. So I didn't have any expectations going into it about Maisie Williams and her part in this. I have to say, while I do agree with you, Adam, that I think it's probably to call it the weakest episode of the season, I think is a slight misnomer. Because so far this season has been utterly fantastic, and to say it's the weakest one so far, I think it's still a pretty high compliment. this is the episode I think I've enjoyed the most, actually, so far of the season. Partly because it's very standalone, partly because it's a very self-contained story. The performances in it are really good. And Capaldi, I think, is really settled in. As I talked about, that moment he has, you know, I'm the doctor and I save people. I think it's really a defining moment for his doctor. And, he, you know, it's a good story as far as I'm concerned. So, yes, I enjoyed it very much. And I'm curious to see what's going to happen with the Maze William character next week.
Oh, thank you. Debbie?
Yeah. I was worried about it, especially after seeing the helmet.
You do worry, don't you?
Yeah, I do worry a lot. Oh. Yes, I'm quite. I love Doctor Who, and I know. But I enjoyed it. It was standalone, but obviously, glaring moments when Moffat took over the writing.
Yes,
but I felt that Jamie Matheson really sort of tied the whole thing together beautifully. And the whole suggestion at the end of time, just moving around a shield like that, was just really nicely done. The way that her expression changed throughout, the way the camera panned around her, was awesome acting. I was so impressed. I mean, I'm impressed with her in Game of Thrones anyway, because she's brilliant. But get off, Kat. Stop fighting. I'm talking. Gordon Bennett, I'm being
used. I am talking.
Fingers on lips, Kat. Stop it. Sorry, I was being used as a war machine. I don't know. But I enjoyed it. I liked the bit when Clara basically said, you know, has this unflappable faith that the doctor is going to solve it. You know, this unbroken faith that the doctor is going to come up with an idea, which he does, of course. But the moment when he has self-doubt, when he has moments of, you know, like in the last series, when am I a good man all the way through it, this time he's realized he's a good man, he's realized his potential, that what he could do. He said, I'm the doctor and I can do anything, but I can't because of the rules. It's like he's gone from one extreme to the other in this series. So I'll be interested to see how he sort of resolves his modesty, shall we say. You know, he comes back to being a bit more modest about who he is as the doctor, because he's now gone all gung-ho, but now he's going to have to pay the price for saving her life. He's going to have to look after it and take responsibility for what he's done, and I'm looking forward to seeing how next week happens. But this was, for me, it was a really good episode. I enjoyed it, not as much as Adam said, you know, the previous two stories, but it's still up there. It's still better than most of last season, and brilliant. I can't wait to see what happens next with that character.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Kirby.
First thing. Oh, I'm echoing. How come I'm echoing?
Nothing to do with me.
Are you echoing here? Okay.
I can hear it.
Yeah. Anyway, first thing I'm going to say is that I have only seen one episode of Game of Thrones and did not get sucked into it, so I don't know that much about Maisie Williams.
You probably with too much sex in it.
Anyway, I thought this was good, and I'm just going to be repeating what other people have said. Of the five episodes so far, this was, to me, the least, the not worst, but the one that is, I'd rank it five out of the five, but it still was much better than everything last series. I found it interesting because the last four stories I rewatched several times, like the evening it was on. I averaged, I think, three and a half times watching each of those. And this one I only watched twice. So it was just something about it didn't catch me as much as those. Not sure why, but it still was enjoyable. I was turned off by the horns and the intrusion of Moffat writing. I think that was probably the main thing, is that have those three bits of Moffat just sticking out saying, "Hi, I'm Stephen Moffat. See, these are my weird ideas."
It was really weird.
Although I do agree they needed to be in there, but I think they could have been done better.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So that's it. Now let's hear what...
Yeah. Thank you, Kirby.
Very, very quite contrary.
Yes.
Well, to me, this episode was kind of like, oh, hey, we missed the 11th Doctor, because the Capaldi was like all over the place, just like the 11th Doctor used to be, you know, running, jumping, waving his hands, exuberantly saying things that then he has to kind of take back or tamp down after he has said them. So I don't know where Capaldi's Doctor is anymore, because they really don't like him being the old man that he was last season with his, you know, conservative clothes and his shortcut. Now he's all shaggy and like Deb said, you know, like he just went to the closet and grabbed anything. He's got that rumpled look now. I mean, I think they're working really hard to make him cool. And I don't like that. I want the Capaldi Doctor to be different than the 11th Doctor. And this story, this time, and maybe it's Moffat's writing, really put him in that Matt Smith spot, which I'm not comfortable with him being there. It doesn't look good on him. Now, the character of Ashilda, played by Maisie, I have not seen Game of Thrones, don't want to see Game of Thrones, didn't like the books, don't like the thing. It's too bloody, gory, violent. So I've never seen her. I didn't know what to expect except people with their high expectations. And this story, I don't think, really showed her off all that well because she wasn't asked to do very much. So hopefully the next episode will give us, you know, a little more range. Most of this she spent just kind of standing around looking, you know, sad and sweet and scared. But I did like having Clara back being a companion and stop being the Doctor. She was getting uncomfortably close to being the Doctor again in the last story. But in this one, she was mostly just hanging around and saying, "What's your plan? What's your plan, Doctor?" Which is fine. I think that's where she belongs.
Yeah,
and not being the one to figure everything out.
Just ooching him on a bit, you know, come on.
I know you can do it. Yeah, being kind of his cheering section. I like that. So I liked her a lot better. And I don't rank the stories yet. You know, you're all saying, oh, this is the best or the worst. It was okay. And it's just part of this season, which I'm enjoying overall because it's way better than last season was. But I'd like to see Capaldi find his own doctor and stop being either apologetic for being old or trying to be the 11th Doctor. So there you are.
Thank you. Mary? Pardon, Kirby?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you said something.
No.
Okay. Okay, I suppose we better move on to feedback. I've just sent Mrs. Melrose some feedback from Jeff Waddle.
Okay. Hang on a minute.
Should be interesting.
Break up the party. Stop it!
You know, sometimes I wonder why Jeff even bothers watching.
Yeah, because he's always saying he's not going to watch it anymore.
Oh dear, it's quite long. All right, okay. Here we go. I don't know why I didn't like this. I found it dreadfully dull. I don't watch Game of Thrones, though I know who this Maisie Williams is, so I have nothing to compare her character to, but I thought she was as wooden as a longship. Electric eels? Give me a break. They don't live in cold water. Maybe the Viking village was running an aquarium, because they didn't seem to be doing much else Viking-like. They should have been bloodthirsty and warlike, not fainting at the sight of blood. Not impressed. That's two episodes out of the five I've liked, two and three. One I was in the middle about, ep four, and the other two I won't watch again. Okay, I think I read that right. Not a very good season so far for me. Still love Capaldi, though. It's him that's keeping me watching. I just wish he was given better material. It's beginning to feel like the last seasons of Matt Smith to me, where I didn't enjoy much of it. Next week's is very little interest to me either. Sigh, sad face. Well, resigned face by the looks of it.
Thank you very much.
Well, good afternoon, 20 Megabyters. Andy in here. It's 5:13 on Sunday evening. Sorry I can't join tonight. I've got to go back to the real world of work tomorrow, so I want to get an early night in after 3 weeks off and having lots of fun. But, yeah, I suppose you had to come. Anyway, The Girl Who Died. Stormageddon and I watched that over lunchtime today. Stormageddon's view was two grey big burps after I fed him. That's his view, obviously. Anyway, my view was, I quite enjoyed it, actually. It's, I think we all knew it was going to be a two-parter, but it wasn't an obvious two-parter. It's, I think it's not a story told over two episodes. It's actually two parts of the same story, if that makes sense to you. Probably won't anyway, but I'm not quite sure if I know myself what I mean. But I think you can actually see this one as a self-contained story. Now, Vikings, yeah, they're Vikings, or were they? You know, seeing the one who was a bit Monty Python at times. There were some very good lines in there that stood out well. But I think this is one, again, it's the Doctor thinking right out of a problem. I think he's done it very cleverly, because this is using his diplomacy. You know, he trusted Clara to actually talk her way out of the thing at the start, because he worked out who they were. And then when he found that he wasn't, because originally he was going to abandon the people, then he came back to try and help them to fight. Then Talking Baby, yeah, I could do with him sometimes, try and work out what Stormageddon's telling us. We have worked out what the I'm hungry one is and the I want to cuddle one is. And we're just about with the, not quite deciding which kind of nappy it is he needs, but we're getting there. But yeah, the Talking Baby, obviously a throwback to Matt Smith. Plenty of throwbacks in that one, of course, a throwback to Tennant at the end with the, you know, that's why I chose this face. So I think that actually will shut a lot of people up, as to say, you know, the Doctor's actually, you know, reappeared his own past. Well, now he actually has reappeared his own past, because he did choose a face, a bit like Romana did when she changed faces. So does that, when regeneration, do you actually get a choice in what face you get then?
Mm.
You know, because before, they've always been sort of regeneration come along because of something's happened. You know, there's been an accident, he's actually dying and he's had to regenerate. But this time, again... Again, the Doctor knew he was going, so did he get a choice in it? We'll just find out when I listen back in the week to what you other guys have said, whether anyone else thought that way at all. A lot of people I see on Facebook didn't like this, but I did, though. I think the story rocks along. People said it's boring. Sorry, I don't think it was boring at all. I think it was fascinating. You know, they've seen how the Doctor was going to pick at the people, you know, the ones who were left behind, the non-fighters, to take them on and do something with them. And it's great with the loft scene, that straight out of, are you being served? You take off Otmar, I'll get it right in a second. Heidi, I loved as well. Yes, so there's some great names in there as well. And the fainting at the sight of blood, and the fainting at the mention of blood, and yes, setting the place on fire. But yes, and the first aid kit, making a hybrid. That's going to open a whole can of worms. Of course, you're going to go, is it Romana? Is it Missy? Is it Labani? Oh, God, there we go again. Well, you know, this time next week, we'll have found out that Maisie Williams actually is playing a totally original character, and it's not somebody from the Doctor's past. Those could, of course, be famous last words, couldn't they? But at the end, we got the prequel to, well, not the prequel, the what coming next week bit. Yeah, how many people say the Bob? I did. So, yes, does that mean you're going to flash out and go, woof, woof? But it's going to be interesting, because obviously she's immortal, but is she immortal in that she can't die, or can't change, or can't get old? It's been interesting, and a bit of a thing from, remember the high original Highlander film, where, you know, yeah, almost had it occurs, because, you know, everybody else grows old, you don't, and, you know, everyone else will die, and you don't, eventually, you know, you'll meet somebody and you'll lose them. So I think there's a lot of throws from there as well. But, no, I enjoy this. Not the best, not, you know, there's some pretty poor acting for some of the Vikings at times. And, yeah, anyone else thought Jadoon when they saw the robots? Because that's what I did. I can't discuss it with you, but interesting to see what other people thought of you. But, no, enjoyed it. I'll watch it again next week, whether I'll watch it probably in the evening after the rugby or on the Sunday, I don't know. But hopefully everybody will join you then. Until then, for me, be seeing you from Stormageddon. Bye for now.
Yes, there's Andy Nunny,
you
everyone.
Guys keep saying robots. They were soldiers, not robots.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Kirby. But it's interesting to note that...
Interesting heads when their helmets came off. There are very interesting heads on those creatures.
But it's interesting that we all seem to have points or mentioned points that Andy said about... So obviously we did watch the episode and gleaned the similar sort of... conclusions that he did.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Hello to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. This is Patrick from North Hollywood.
We can hear it.
Back for Yay. The Girl Who Died. Now, this episode is probably the weakest of the season so far. I know it's kind of, I guess it's structured as a two-parter, even though it can be standalone. I really like Maisie Williams acting in it. I'm a big fan of hers from Game of Thrones, of course. Yeah, but the story, I'm not a big fan of, like, the whole, when he goes back in time to medieval times, that whole universe. Not a big fan of it, but that story was decent. The aliens were interesting looking. I guess the whole part of this episode, the gist of it, the thrust of it, is getting to the point where He makes this character immortal. And not only does he make her immortal, he gives her the ability to make another person immortal in case she wants a companion to live with her for all time. So it's very interesting how they're going to wrap this up in the part two and where this is going and what this is all about. You know, so she must have some significance through his timeline for him to do something as powerful as that, as give her immortality. He's never done that before, to my knowledge. So it's very interesting. I'm looking forward to see how they wrap it up. But for this episode, it came off as kind of lukewarm outside of the end where he, barring major accidents, made her immortal. So we'll see. That's about it. Decent episode. Like I've always said, like, even average Doctor Who is better than most stuff on TV. But the bar has been set so high with the episodes this season so far, it just felt kind of weak. So my guess is all of this was just a lot of play up to introduce this Maisie character and introduce the concept of her having this gift of immortality and how it plays out in the future. So we will see. Anyway, I hope you guys have a great week.
Thank you very much. And you can guarantee that she will have a major accident somewhere along the line.
You know, I'm wondering if they're planning a spin-off like they did with Captain Jack. Now that he's too old to play Captain Jack anymore, now we have the immortal El Shulder.
What do you mean he's too
old? Well, she's also busy on Game of Thrones still, and Game of Thrones doesn't look like it's going anywhere anytime soon. So
plus Barrowman can probably be Captain Jack in audio forever.
He'd be all right. Forever, doesn't look much different. Debbie, does he look much different?
Bit craggier.
Yes.
He does. He does look older. I was channel surfing the other night,
Sorry, he's got to evolve into the face of Bo, I suppose.
Yes,
he's got to become Bo eventually.
Exactly.
I was gonna say he does look a bit older because I was channel surfing the other night and came across Arrow, and happened to be a shot of him, and I went, he does look a little bit older now.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. He could still play Captain Jack.
He can dance around in TARDIS dresses.
Yes, I like John Barrowman.
It's like Nat Fillon can't do Serendipity anymore.
Hello, Twitter Midweb Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. Last week, I lost a page in my nose and did not add a couple of music clips.
Oh.
Star Wars was filmed in the UK, and Royal Mail is releasing Star Wars postage stamps on Tuesday, the 20th of October. Jenna Coleman was in Emmerdale when she was little. She still is little. In the first episode this year, Bors had an axe. In the third, Moran's ghost had an axe. In the fifth, some of the Vikings had axes. The trolls say Doctor Who is going to be axed. Uh-huh. Ashilda wears half the sonic sunglasses, foreshadowing her challenge to a fake Odin with a high-tech eye patch. Distilling hormones like the Rani.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Once
like
again,
I said.
Clara acts like the Doctor. She persuades the Maya to leave. Ashilda undoes this by challenging them to a battle. The plot separates the Doctor from his TARDIS, so it is harder for him to find a solution. The Doctor has held a sword in battle. Also, a spoon.
Yes!
A space helmet for a cow. Singing Vikings. Bye for now.
Excellent. What would we be without Ian Kirk?
He's great, and I love how he can write these wonderful things in only a few hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's got a talent there, isn't he, Debbie?
Definitely. Sorry, okay. Still laughing.
Talking of talent, it's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One, and Matthew
will.
I will.
Wait.
Tom, I was going to say, we still have some feedback.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do. On the 20 megabyte, we have some feedback from Ian Birch.
I'll go with him. I didn't know about that.
So you jumped. Yeah, you obviously don't read Facebook because you even posted asking for feedback.
I did.
I did post
on that post, 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. That was quite the key part
of
that.
Okay, I will add that next time.
You donut. Okay, carry on with Ian Burge's feedback. Thank you very much.
Well, Ian Burge says, a good 3-star episode, nothing amazing, but it was still an enjoyable ride and much better than a lot of TV at present.
Yep.
I think this episode will be seen in better light once we see next week's episode, as this is one half of a larger story. Also, I spent the episode on the lookout for an ex-drama student of mine. He played the glum-looking Viking lad who lurked in the background a lot. Throughout the episode, I'm shouting at the screen going, look, there he is, there he is. I felt very proud.
Were there any other bits and bobs on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group page
that
which you can join?
Baz Hood said,
go on.
It was like kids' TV. Oh, look, Odin in a cloud. Jesus wept. This is from the man who gave us Mummy and Flatline last year. Moffat's grubby prints are all over it. I hate the baby talk stuff. It was stupid with Matt, but it simply doesn't suit Capaldi.
Don't see why not. Be fair.
Adam Saunders then responded, it's a family show. Just because they had an actress from Game of Thrones, don't expect it to be suddenly filled with tits and murder. Well, I think that was in response to Jeff.
That's fair enough. But, you know, this thing about him being able to understand baby, it's consistent with the Doctor anyway. But what it reminded me of was Deep Breath. Was it Deep Breath?
Yeah.
When he could understand what the dinosaur was saying.
Yes.
It just reminded me of that. I've got no problem with it whatsoever. I love it. Anybody else?
I think
you can play the theme song again.
Oh, no, I've already played it now. All right. The first question goes to Matthew.
Uh-oh.
Don't worry, you'll get it. It's not. If you pay attention, you'll get
it. I plan to lose, by the way.
I'm going to be losing on this one.
I'm going to lose. I'm a bit disappointed now.
Easy the questions are.
Me, I'm going to lose.
All right, Matthew.
She sounds almost happy about it.
Anybody who talks over will get points deducted. Matthew, what did the Doctor kill at the start of the story?
It's the Lobe Sprite.
See? I must have been in bad form in writing these questions. Kirby.
Master.
What race did the Doctor mention while cleaning his shoes on a tree?
I think I know.
I don't know. See, I told you I'd lose.
Excellent.
I only saw this twice.
Debbie said she knew.
I think he mentioned two. He said the Rihanna or the Felucians.
I'll give you that one.
Thank you.
Mary.
Yes.
Oh, no, Debbie. Sorry, Debbie got the bonus point there. Sorry. Debbie.
Yes.
What is premonition?
Just remembering the wrong direction.
Mary.
Debbie's going to win.
Who did the Doctor pretend to be?
I know.
Oh, he pretended to be Odin.
See,
I love the way
too.
You reeled Kirby into that one.
Odin.
Right, Matthew.
Yes.
Where was the feast offered by Odin to be held?
Valhalla.
We all know that.
Don't talk over Matthew's answer. Sorry, Matthew, carry on.
Well, Valhalla, but, you know.
The spaceship.
If we want to be pedantic,
you would have got an extra point if you said what he said in the script, which is Halls of Valhalla. You would have got an extra point. About the mind, Kirby,
Master.
What did the Maya leader call his adrenaline and testosterone medicine?
Nectar.
Yes.
Does he get a point for attitude?
Debbie.
Yes.
What was the Doctor's initial response to Clara's return to Earth?
He didn't want to hug.
Sorry, Debbie?
He didn't want to hug. He doesn't do hugs.
I know.
Go on then, Matthew.
He did the thumbs up.
Your name's not Matthew, point deducted. And a point to Matthew for just being...
What if Matthew had gotten it wrong?
No, it doesn't matter.
I knew what it was anyways.
So, Mary, just so because you know you're not Matthew, it's... Matthew.
He gave her the thumbs.
Answer. I don't know very many answers, and I knew that one.
Yeah. Give her a point.
No.
Don't worry about it.
No. Right. Whose go is it now? Debbie's, isn't it?
What?
Hang on. I've lost where I was now.
It was Debbie's question last, so I think it's Mary's question.
Oh, Mary,
now.
Right. Mary.
Yeah.
Right. What character did Maisie Williams play?
A shoulder.
I'm so merciful. It's ridiculous.
I have to make up.
Pardon?
I have to make up for my last point.
You do, right. So the scores are at the moment, as we're about halfway through, nearly. In last place, or joint last place, with 2 points each, it's me, Mary and Kirby. In second place, with 3 points, it's Debbie. And in the lead with 5 points, it's Matthew, whose question this is.
Yes.
Complete the doctor's quote, fly like a bird.
I know.
I don't know.
Mary?
Run like a nose.
But I'll get a point. Oh! And Mary gets a point. Right. So Kirby.
I missed that one. Master?
What do babies think is singing?
I know.
Oh, laughter.
Gosh, here I thought I'd be cleaning up some points.
Debbie?
Yes?
When the doctor says jump, what should the villagers say?
You say how high?
These are too easy, aren't they?
Yes.
I thought they weren't at the time. Mary?
Yes?
What did the doctor say happened after the bipeds?
Increasing frustration or something like that.
Kirby, you muttered something. Did you know the answer?
A mounting sense of futility.
Yeah, there you
go. Yes, yeah.
All right. Another score update. In last place, with 3 points, Mary. Fourth place, with 4 points, me. And in joint first place, with 5 points each, it's Matthew, Kirby and Debbie.
Oh, why?
Okay.
Right. No, I need to lose. Come on.
Matthew's question. Who faints at the mention of blood?
Heidi.
This is Kirby's question.
Master.
Where does Lofty take the baby?
I know.
In with the eels, where I don't know that was.
I'm sorry, that isn't quite what I'm looking for. So, yes, Debbie?
Boathouse.
Debbie.
Yes.
What is winning all about?
Having the biggest smile. Act as if you know their plan.
No, I know.
I'm afraid that you're trying to guess that one, weren't you? Yes, Mary?
That was my quote.
Yeah?
Win is all about looking happier than the other guy.
Mary?
Yes?
You'll get this one. What music did Clara suggest would go well with the video?
Benny Hill music.
It does have a name.
Yes.
Yakety Sax.
Yes, I know it's Yakety
Boots
Sax.
Boots Randolph.
Yes, that's correct. Well done. Not got any points
ding,
for it.
Ding.
Last four questions. Last four questions. Ready? Matthew?
Ready.
What killed a shoulder? Physically, what killed her?
The helmet using her like a battery.
Ding.
Ding.
What?
No. Not the answer I'm looking for, I'm afraid. Anybody?
That's how I would have answered.
Yeah, that's what I would have said, too.
Do you pay
that's
attention to the script like I do? I'll take it as another no. Good, another point for me then. Excellent. Answer was, what killed her was heart failure.
Heart failure, that's right.
Thank you. Kirby.
Master.
What did the doctor get from the Meyer helmet? What was it called?
A medical kit, a Meyer medical kit.
That'll do. It's battlefield medical kit, but we'll do.
Okay.
Debbie.
Thank you.
Master.
What was a shielder not allowed to do for a week?
Swimming.
Yes.
Mary.
Yes.
Everything hangs on this question. What did the doctor say immortality was?
Wow. I don't remember.
I know.
Oh, Debbie knows.
Immortality is everyone else dying.
Oh, yeah.
So, the final scores in this week's edition of You Won't Get This One, and you did, for a change. In last place with 6 points, Mary. In joint third place with 7 points each, it's Matthew and Kirby. And the joint winners this week with 9 points each is me and Debbie. And I can't do a tiebreaker because I haven't got any.
We never count you anyway.
I can't do a tiebreaker because I'd know what the answer was, wouldn't I? Don't count me. How dare you? Kirby?
What? Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
That's the closest I've ever come to winning my own.
One thing that I didn't bring up in my when I talked about the episode, but I thought it was kind of clever, was at the very beginning when the doctor is explaining to Clara, you know, what they do. He says it's okay to make ripples, but not tidal waves. And then at the end, when he's mourning over what he's done with a shoulder, he said he made a terrible mistake, maybe even a tidal wave.
Yes.
So I like that.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah. I also liked, he does say the quote I used, which was, time will tell, it always does, which is what the Seventh Doctor says is the final line of Remembrance of the Daleks.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that's true.
Yes. Yeah. And that concludes this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
Master?
Yes.
If you kept, if people kept hearing my phone going off during the quiz,
nope.
Your groceries are arrived.
No. Oh. No. My youngest daughter, who, by the way, she, even though she's 18, she finally got her driver's license about two and a half weeks ago.
Yes.
Did she put a proper name on it? She's going out and driving all over the place nowadays by herself.
Yeah, but did she put a proper name on it?
Her name is Mary.
Yeah, well, your daughters seem to like to sort of change their names somewhere along the line, don't they? Well,
only Fred.
Oh, you mean Louisa?
Yes. Anyway, Mary's out with one of her friends, and she's texting me pictures from Barnes & Noble of various Doctor Who things. I'm surprised that she still pays attention to that sort of stuff, because she's sworn she's never going to watch Doctor Who again because she didn't want to see the 11th Doctor turn to the 12th Doctor. So
she'll come back around.
I don't know. I've tried. I forced her to watch a couple of them.
You forced her? What did you do? Like chain her to a chair? Or?
Yeah, no, it's duct tape like you use on your microphone.
No, I used to force Alicia to do a podcast once upon a time, apparently.
She wouldn't getting blood out of her. My husband's gone to bed early because he's up at 4, and he's rather sonorous.
And word of the day there from Debbie Melrose.
Sonorous, yes.
That innocent. I can actually speak properly on here, and people know what I'm talking about.
Because you're intellectual, Debbie. It's gone all quiet now.
Yeah.
No matter what, I cannot find where the village was they filmed this.
It doesn't really matter, does it?
It's a generic village in England that they use for
Wales. I'm sure it's in Wales.
Robin Hood, a few other films.
Yeah, Doctor Who News. Apparently it says Doctor Hoot up for auction. Doctor Hoot and 89 other giant owls came together one last time at a special farewell weekend at Birmingham's Millennium Point. I'm not drinking Stella tonight, by the way. So can't blame her. Sorry, I got distracted. On the 10th and 11th of October. Debbie, I'm going to ask you to read the rest of the news because, unfortunately, my Big Mac has crashed.
Yeah, hang on.
I didn't even have any chips with it.
I was kind of relying on you then, so I'm now called
your Big Mac. Is that two all beef patties? No, that's wrong. Come.
Oh, I'll move on. No, it's all right. I'll try my best, Debbie. So,
hang on. No.
I'm here now. Right. Under the lake official ratings, I seem to remember saying that it was about 4 million overnight figures. Well, it's now gone up to 5.63 million. Which is
they're going to cancel the
rather
show.
Average for Doctor Who.
I was going to say, I mean, I don't know if anybody else has seen it, but even Forbes has jumped on the Doctor Who's ratings are terrible bandwagon.
Yeah, I saw that you posted that.
The article posted yesterday. And the even worse thing about the Forbes article, if you read it, is it gives four reasons why the BBC won't cancel the show, and at the end of the article says that it's a terrible thing that the BBC won't cancel the show because Doctor Who probably should be cancelled at this point.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
But there are BBC shows that get less than a million viewers.
And there's
But I think as well, I mean, I keep having to make this point with people that I think anybody who bothers to look outside of Doctor Who's ratings at the overall UK TV ratings over the last few years, you know, the ratings for everything that is not a sporting event or a reality program or something like The X Factor are down across the board. And people are, but for some reason, I think Doctor Who fandom goes into a fit every time the ratings drop.
Because
just
it's always a worry in the back of everybody's minds that
something happened in 1989 that will be cancelled.
Yeah,
well, something happened in 1985 that was confirmed in 1989, and nobody's ever going to forget about it.
Yeah,
and I think it's just to be fair. I mean, every time the ratings have taken a drop since 2005, you know, people have gone, "Oh my God," you know,
yeah, they're going to cancel it. Oh no,
It used to be Russell T Davies is killing the show, you know, and today it's Stephen Moffat is killing the show. When Matt Smith was introduced, people were going, oh my God, the ratings are down from when Tennant was the Doctor, so therefore, you know, they're going to cancel the show.
They can't cancel it.
Even if it does get cancelled, it'll be back within 5 years.
Yeah, and it'll be back in some other format throughout that time as well.
There's plenty of Doctor Who around, bear in mind.
Format. It already exists in several different formats.
No, exactly. Yeah. It's already here. It's staying. It's not going.
If they cancelled the TV show, it would all of it, the whole lot, would move over to Big Finish. You know, all the current...
It would move over to Big Finish. There would be a book. There's two book ranges going. There's an official BBC range, and there's also, amongst other things, the Lethbridge Stewart novels from Candy Jar Books, which I cannot recommend highly enough. Having read the first two, and I've been lucky enough to be sent an advanced copy of the third book.
Yeah, that's actually here on the. Is that Beast of Bang Rock?
Yes,
that's here on Who News. I've finally got it up on my page.
I've got it up now on my big computer, so I don't need you anymore.
Yeah, it's up there, just underneath it, though. John Hurt's cancer is in remission.
Hang on, I was just about to read that.
Tough, I was holding on to that one. Yeah.
That's great news, though. So he might come back to Doctor Who.
Hopefully. Yes, he's definitely...
Well, he's already coming back.
I know, on Big Finish,
Yeah, he's a new range of audio adventures for Big Finish Productions. The first
one. Yeah, it's going to be...
Later this year.
I can hardly wait. I'm looking forward to those.
Very excited.
First one's coming out in December, and then there's going to be at least three more box sets after that. And with his health having improved, there's always the possibility that they'll keep going doing stuff. I certainly hope for that myself.
Mm, absolutely.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm going back to the Lethbridge Stewart books. I'm looking forward to that.
As I said, I've read the first two books, and they are fantastic. And I was lucky enough to be sent an advanced copy of the third book.
You lucky devil, you.
What happens when you review books for websites.
Tell me how to get into that. I'm dying to
be
do
quiet.
That.
No, they don't take it into consideration with this 5 million viewing figures thing is the fact that the BBC doesn't make money out of advertising, but it does make money out of exporting programmes to other countries, and Doctor Who's its biggest export. So,
and do we have ratings for BBC America yet?
Yeah, no, three
and something
a half,
that I'm noticing at the end of the Doctor Who episodes, at the very end of the credits, it says co-produced with BBC America.
Yes.
So they're getting money from BBC America to produce these as well.
A lot of the new series has been co-productions with somebody else. The first couple of years of the new series were co-productions with the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. BBC America has co-produced at least three or four episodes off the top of my head. The Series 6 opener and Angels Take Manhattan were both co-financed by BBC America, which is why they were able to have the money to come to the U.S. to do the location filming for those.
Mm. Nothing here about nothing here about viewing figures in America yet.
No, but you mentioned about the Beast of Fang Rock book, didn't you?
Doctor Who, The Girl Who Died, according to unofficial overnight viewing figures. That's more than the people who watched the rugby.
4.85 million for an overnight.
Well, why would anyone watch rugby?
I love rugby.
That's a question.
It's going to go up, isn't it? Because that was overnight figures for the previous story.
Yes,
they're
just unofficial ones as well. Yes. So speculation.
So yeah.
And then you got a few bits of press reaction as well.
Yeah. We don't want to read that, do we? Who...
Press reaction.
I read some of those last night after I read Jeff's kind of lackluster reaction and went, Jeff, what are you talking about?
I mean, there is times I seriously wonder if we're all watching the same show sometimes. I really do.
Mm. I think Jeff enjoys being negative.
Well, I also tend to think, and Jeff, if you're listening, no offense, that there is a group of particularly older male British Doctor Who fandom for whom Doctor Who was at its best for 3 to 7 years in the early to mid-1970s, and it's all been downhill from there. And it will never be as good as it was for those 3 to 7 years in the 1970s.
Now, I quite like people having different opinions because I always hope that something happens that changes their opinion. I find, when Jeff liked that episode, I can't remember which one it was now. I think it was the second of the episode two of this series, wasn't it? Because he turned his back on it a little bit, and his friend persuaded him to watch episode two, and he loved it, and that sort of warms my heart. And I know he's got extreme views about what he likes to see in Doctor Who, but when he and I agree on something, it sort of enforces or reinforces how good the episode was.
Yeah. I'm not saying he's not allowed to have his opinion, but I do get annoyed sometimes with that certain section of the fandom, which I seem to encounter a lot, I guess, through being a classic series fan, that a lot of them basically just look at the new series. I do have people back during the Matt Smith era who refused to call the Matt Smith era Doctor Who. They called it teenage space soap opera.
Oh, yes. Yes.
They're not far off.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. God.
Anyway, I've got some sponsors.
Oh, yes. Mary?
would that be whoone.co.uk?
Is that whoone.co.uk?
Sounds right to me.
There's a new product popped up that wasn't on there last week, and Christmas is coming, as I keep saying. It's coming very thick and fast.
What, are you looking at the same thing I'm looking at?
The interactive Cyberman attack.
Yeah, the gun and the cyber.
Fire the blaster to stop the Cyberman. Hit the Cyberman 9 times in 30 seconds to stop the Cyberman. 3 hits and left arm pops off. 6 hits and right arm pops off. 9 hits and Cyberman falls over. Increase the distance to make it harder.
I want that.
£24.99. That's going to be the Christmas present of the year.
Put one in my house and one in the gun in your house.
Forget about that hoverboard thing. This is going to be the Christmas present of this year. If only they sort of make it known that it was out there. whoone.co.uk. You can buy that among other things that we mentioned last week, like Forsaken by Justin Richards, Mr. Busy, Justin Richards, and Simon Gurrier, who did A Black Hole, and Eighth Doctor Doom Coalition, which are all CDs and probably downloadable from the Big Finish website.
Yes, they can be.
So, yeah, that's the place to go for your Doctor Who books and CDs.
Hey,
and
Matthew,
I need
stuff.
A few more.
Yes.
Matthew, I had a question with Big Finish.
Yes.
You know, at Con K, I bought 2 Big Finish CDs direct from, what was his name?
Jason Hay-Ellery.
Yes.
Jason? Yeah.
But does that, by my buying those, I don't think I've got the right to download copies, do I?
No, you don't.
Oh, darn.
Nah. Yeah.
But I got his autograph, so that's fine.
Yeah. The only way to get the CDs and the downloads both is to buy them directly through Big Finish's website.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I mean, you can take the CDs out of the plastic. Well, he signed them, so they're already out of the plastic. Stick them into your computer, rip them to your iTunes.
That's what I'll do, yeah.
But yeah, that's what I did until recently when I have been making the swap over to downloads, and also just in time because my CD drive on the laptop decided to die.
Was that a PC or was it Mac?
What?
Was it PC or Mac?
What did I buy?
Yeah, what did you buy?
Hang on, let me reach down and grab them. Hang on.
I think
that's what he said.
God.
I think it's World Wide Web and the Eightfold Truth.
Oh.
Correctly, Kirby.
Yes. Yes.
It disappeared for a moment there.
It's the what?
Yeah, see? World Wide Web and the Eighth Truths.
Yeah, I think it's the Eightfold Truth. It's the Series 3 it's finale the from the Eighth Doctrine.
Oh, okay, okay.
The Eight Truths.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Eight Truths, okay.
Oh, is that Stephen Moore of Marvin?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyway, we have other sponsors really? In the shape of Lavazzi. And if you go to lavazzi.co.uk, you can find a load of other excellent gifts for your potential Doctor Who fans, or even for yourself. And as before,
still want free samples.
The sale items are the Series 18 scarf and the Peter Davison cricket jumper, which is the one prior to the Case of Androzani version. So, among other things, like the tie and the other scarves and the other knitted goodies that Debbie still hasn't got yet. And things that I'd like, and hopefully, oh no, they have still sold out of the Seventh Doctor umbrella, which I have in my possession, but was considering getting another one just in case.
When you click, when you click on where it says "win a brand new scarf," nothing happens,
doesn't it? Oh dear, you're not supposed to say that when we're trying to promote the Mazar sponsors, Kirby.
Well, hopefully they're listening.
Yeah, they're fixing their website.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe because that particular you can just do a quick bit of editing and cut that bit out.
Yeah.
I don't like to edit. That particular promotion may have come to an end, Kirby. But the promotions, like I said, about the sale items are not at an end. They're still available at sale prices. But you can get your Dalek scarf, your tie, the TARDIS umbrella, the Time Lord folding umbrella, and, of course, the other goodies, which nobody's bought me yet, like the Seventh Doctor Paisley scarf, and the Seventh Doctor Paisley hanky, Debbie, which I haven't got yet, Debbie.
Okay, fair enough.
They might sell them. I'm only joking. I don't expect you to buy me those, for goodness sake. Because She Who Must Be Obeyed will be probably looking at buying me stuff at the event. Right, what else we got? That was the sponsors.
Looking forward to the event.
Are you?
Yeah.
Good. We have got the right night, haven't we? We're going up on the Friday, staying over on holiday and coming back on the Saturday.
Yep.
That's the good news.
And then we've got to watch Doctor Who really quickly.
Yeah, but no, the good news, that's the good news. The bad news is, at the moment, I haven't got my shift change and finish work at 9:30 p.m. on the Friday. So we might have a very, very late drive up to the hotel, which means we might not get an awful lot of sleep that night, unless I can get my shift changed.
Sleep is for tortoises, Adam.
Apparently so.
We don't want him to wreck on the way up there.
Pardon? Don't want to what? What?
He doesn't want you to wreck on the way up there.
What does that mean?
Get in a car wreck.
Oh.
Yeah, because I'm
a traffic accident.
That's nice trying to tempt fate there, Kobe.
Right. But we don't want you to drive while tired.
Oh, it's very thoughtful. Are you worried that I might not be able to do a podcast, or are you worrying about my personal safety?
Your personal safety.
Oh, isn't that lovely, everybody?
No, he's worried about me.
Oh, thanks. Right, yes, Doctor Who on eBay. Right, we have some different things right at the top of the most expensive items. This has got an interesting one in some ways. It's Doctor Who Land Rover Snatch for $12,990.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
What?
Doctor Who's Land Rover Snatch, £12,995. It's a Land Rover fitted with loads of props to make it look like a unit-style Land Rover. It says this listing is for an opportunity to buy a rare Land Rover Snatch 110. There are only a small number in private hands and none like this one. I've owned it for just under 3 years. It was originally a desert colour with a thermal camo jacket over the vehicle. I repainted it in 2014 to matte black for use as a unit vehicle from the BBC show Doctor Who. So there you go. That's listed at £12,995. Nobody's watching it and nobody's put any bids on it. But it is in Bridgend, so maybe... It was actually used. That's got a great big unit logo on the side of it. So the next item, with 51 people actually watching it, no bids, is a full-size Supreme Khaled stroke Dalek, not BBC. It's a wheelchair Doctor Who. So obviously, it's got a wheelchair inside it. I should imagine you wheel it around that way. It's not too bad, actually, the way it looks. It's quite well built. It's clearly recognisable as a Dalek, but not quite as good as some of the Daleks people have built. And I've seen photos of at conventions. So looking further down the page, bearing in mind Christmas is coming, I'm not seeing anything of a bids against. And I'm going quite a long way down. So Debbie's going to fill in this little bit to keep the show sounding slick.
Can I talk about Con Kisturbers?
I'm glad you're going to talk about Con Kisturbers,
yes, of course,
and not about your podcast.
We did make the announcement earlier this week that we are having to move the convention venue from the Westin, where we've had the con the last 2 years, to a new location, which is the Embassy Suites here in downtown Huntsville. So we're hoping to announce the code where people can go and register, for their rooms, or book their rooms, I should say, sometime in the week to come. It may even be available by the time you hear this podcast. So, and of course, tickets are available right now. You can go ahead and register. We do have VIP tickets available. And we're working on some more guests at the moment as well, now that we've been able to settle our venue and date issues, which has made it rather difficult.
No. But still quite exciting, because I think I actually won't be at a little mixed concert when that convention's on.
Oh, excellent.
At the moment, anyway.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll be able to do another live episode from there, the new location.
This is what I'm hoping.
I should hope so.
And this is what Debbie's hoping too, because she's going to be a bit stressed out when trying to set up recording the Con GT podcast in her own house. Isn't that right, Debbie?
Yes, that's right.
Yes. Still not finding anybody buying any of this stuff. Oh dear, I'm going to have to give up this link soon. Anybody else to fill in whilst I go to page 15?
We can't see the eBay stuff that you're looking at.
Nobody's buying Doctor Who. Yeah. It's going to be scrapped.
What?
Nobody's buying Doctor Who stuff. It's going to be scrapped.
Oh, it's going to be cancelled? Sure.
I'm going, what page am I on here? It's gone right down the list. Those are interesting things here, but nobody's buying.
Yeah, I'm going to get a few nice things from eBay, hopefully.
From eBay? Aren't you going to just save up your money and get it from the Doctor Who Festival?
Yes, but I'm pretty sure I can get some of the figures that I want for cheaper on eBay, then I will find them up there.
Okay. No, there's nothing. I've gone right the way down into six or seven here, and there's nobody putting
bids in. So what's
the
title of the next episode, then?
It's Ted Kirby.
It's The Woman Who Lived.
Is it?
There you go.
Is it really?
Isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I don't know.
So it's the girl who lived to the woman who lived.
The girl who died.
The girl who died and the woman who lived.
Of course, yes. Well done, Kirby.
Everyone should know that. Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir.
You know, I've got this thing in my mind now, this sort of inkling and the desire to go into the kitchen and make a Marmite sandwich. And I think I'm going to fulfill
that. I wish I had some.
What?
I saw a jar of Marmite at Publix the other day, Kirby, but it was like $5 for a small bottle, and I couldn't quite bring myself to spend some money on something that I was either going to love or hate.
Do not get it if you haven't already tasted it.
Hey, it's expensive. It's expensive over here, so it must be awfully pricey over there.
I mean, it was $5 for like a 4-ounce bottle or something. It was absurd.
Yeah, you'd hate it. You'd hate it.
No,
I'd buy it because I one day I'm going to find somebody who's already got it who I can try it from, and then I can decide if I really want
to
spend
that
much money.
You have to eat it on toast, really, if you're going to sample it for a first time, and don't spread it too thickly. That's how I had it. I don't
with
like
a little cheese too.
Ooh, really cheese, Marmite wonderful. Cheese and Marmite sandwich. Nom nom nom.
Yes,
with extra mature cheddar.
You know, I think I've got a bottle I can scrape a little bit from the bottom. I think I'll go down when we're done and see if I can.
Right.
I haven't been over to our British store here in quite some time.
I'm going to have to go and have crumpets with butter.
Yes, I like a bit of crumpet.
Every time you go, Kirby, you post a picture of everything you buy.
Yes,
We haven't seen one of those for a while.
Yeah.
I do like licking crumpet. Oh, sorry, licking Marmite off of a crumpet. off crumpet.
Sorry, no. Off your what?
Great. I like licking Marmite off crumpet. Off a crumpet, sorry.
Marmite is really good on bagels.
I'm sure it is. Anyway, next week...
not good on anything.
Please pay attention. Next week... I'll be on my week off by this time next week, and we'll be reviewing the next episode of Doctor Who, the Woman Who Lived, apparently. And in the interim after that, in between the next episode of Doctor Who, I'll be going on the 29th of October to the U2 to watch the O2. That's the other way around. To the O2 to watch U2. And then on the Saturday, we'll be going up to Wembley Arena to watch Michael McIntyre. So, although for some reason... Oh, no, I've got it around the wrong way. No, let's go back a bit. right. This
Hello,
coming
welcome to the Twitch
Saturday. This coming Saturday, I'm going to Wembley Arena to watch Michael
Can
McIntyre.
You ready?
Yeah, ready.
And I'm ready.
Then on the Wednesday, I'm going to see you two at the O2. That's our two excursions for my week off work.
Master.
Yeah?
I'm not going anywhere.
Next week, don't you have time change?
Yes.
We have time change.
Is the Sunday,
the 25th of October. Time
right.
change.
So
you go back an hour.
Are we still going to record at 8 p.m. your time? It just changes things at this end.
Yes. You'll be recording an hour earlier.
So then we'll be... No, it makes ours.
No, it's an hour later for us.
How's it an hour later? We're going back an hour.
Which makes us an hour closer to you. It's a 4-hour difference instead of a 5-hour difference.
Yeah. I won't be on the show either way because I'm presenting a James Bond panel at NerdCon here in Huntsville on that Sunday.
I just wonder, you've got to be careful. If Rhys Parton is going to be a father, he'll need every penny he can get. He may well actually start suing people for nicking excuses from his books. So I'm just offering a bit of
Matthew,
advice there.
Your panel's going to be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon your time?
It's at like 4, so.
Oh, okay. Boy, that's late for a convention on Sunday.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I just, you know, I'm doing a Doctor Who one on Saturday and I'm doing a James Bond one on Sunday. I'm like the last, I'm from like 3:20 to 4:20 in the afternoon or something.
Half the people who go to conventions on Sunday are gone by that time.
Well, Chicago TARDIS's last thing is usually at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening.
Yeah,
and it's
that's Chicago TARDIS.
Yeah, speaking of which, I will almost certainly not be going to Chicago this year. I'm sad to say.
Yeah, you're kind of late buying a ticket if you are.
Well, I got stuck not being able to buy a ticket because of my old workplace. May it burn to the ground one day. I hope. It kind of messed me up on it, and I completely lost out on the tickets I would have bought. And at this point, with the way my money situation is, it's like I could go, but I couldn't do any autographs, I couldn't do any photographs, and I couldn't really buy much of anything, which, as you know, Mary, is kind of what I do when I go.
That's your bread and butter.
Anyway, I think almost...
I'm hoping I have a fiver left to buy something nice when we go up to London.
you might do. I don't think you get much of a fiver, to be fair.
No, I know. That might be all I've got left.
So it's time to sort of wrap up the show this week, but I just wanted to mention a lovely thing that Mary posted.
You still have some of that tape?
Be quiet.
Wrapping it up.
That Mary posted on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, of some pictures that she forgot she had.
Yeah, they were. I had a camera that broke, almost a year ago.
But
just recently bought another one, so I moved the memory card from one phone to the other, and imagine my surprise! There's all these pictures from.
Yeah. Are there any more other than the lovely ones you posted? And I see Hiram on there, and that Matthew bloke as well. Of course, Jason, and some strange bloke with a hat. Oh, that's Jason. No, that's Kirby, and he's wearing a really good T-shirt.
I've got to hide the baldness.
Hey. No, lovely pictures. So, of course, anybody who's listening to the show isn't a member of the 20 Megabyte Doc 2 podcast Facebook group, which you can join, and you'll get to see them.
Yes.
Yes.
So, and come to next year's Conca servers. You can meet us all again.
Yes, if only.
Or for the Con GT as well. You can meet.
It's Con. Yeah, I'm I think I'm aiming to just move to America.
What?
Well, I'm planning on attending both.
Close to the cons.
And I'll bring my new camera.
But you've got so many opportunities to see many more Doctor Who things there in England.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can tell you as a convention organizer here in the U.S., it is a nightmare trying to get people from the U.K., but, you know, to come over here. But in the U.K., you know, you wake up, you can get on the train at breakfast, you can get there late morning, you can do the convention, you can be home in time for dinner. It's like, wish we had that, because we'd be able to get a whole lot more people than we've been able to.
It seems like you have conventions every other weekend, and you've got all these great people showing up at these conventions.
They just advertise one locally until, like, the day before the other week. That was awful.
Yeah,
Tim Drury
has been posting pictures from wherever he is this week.
Yeah. Well,
do you have very many fan-run conventions, or are they all pretty much the professional conventions?
No, most of them are fan-run. It's only the BBC one that's professional. But, I mean, I'm a bit disappointed they haven't announced even more guests at the festival, to be fair, but it still sounds like it's going to be an amazing event.
Well, they do have people there who have not generally done conventions outside of the official events as well, which I think is probably why they haven't announced anybody else. They don't have to. It's basically the only place you're going to meet Peter Capaldi.
Capaldi. Yeah.
Oh,
whatever.
So that festival is a fan-run event?
What is?
No, it's the BBC. The festival is an official BBC-sanctioned event.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's run by the BBC.
But this thing that Tim is at this weekend.
Most of the conventions in Britain are fan run. The only ones that aren't are the BBC one, which is the festival we're going to.
Yep.
Yeah. And also the UK conventions can still get Tom Baker. Tom Baker does not travel outside the UK anymore, which is frustrating for those of us who would really like to meet him but can't afford a $2,000 plane ticket.
Yeah. I nearly met him.
Do you have any T-shirts left, Adam? Mine's a bit too big.
No, I need a new one.
Well, I've not worn mine much. It's a large.
I don't know. Well, remind me a bit nearer the time. I might order a couple.
Cool.
I don't know. Oh, God.
If you go over to Tim Drury's Facebook page,
he's got pictures. 20 megabyte T-shirts. Excellent.
No. He's got pictures from this Dimensions thing he's at this weekend. Colin is there, Sophie, Deborah Watling.
There's been some lovely pictures, hasn't there?
Yes.
It's really good Dalek.
Okay, we'll have I'll try and have a look at Tim Drury's page. I will try and have a look at Tim Drury's page.
Jimmy V, Simon Fisher Becker.
Friend of the show and member of the group. But anyway, that's it for this week. Hopefully Matthew will decide to go against what he was said. He won't be on next week and actually be on again for his two monthly visits to the 20 Megabyte podcast, because otherwise we won't
get
to see him.
I'm going to try and send in more feedback.
That would be nice.
Future,
otherwise we won't see him until after Christmas. And by then we'll be on episode 300. And Ben Shoveler will be back on the show as well.
Oh, dear.
Pardon?
And Ben, unfortunately, is out of a job.
Yes, his radio station is closing down.
Yes.
And he came to me and said he'd be interested in coming back on the show. But it would be when we're recording midweek, so he certainly wouldn't be able to record Sundays. But I'm not going to stick on Sundays all the time. Maybe every other Sunday. It's easier for me to do it on Mondays because I get to sit next to my lovely Debbie. I mean, you, Debbie, not the other Debbie that's lovely as well. But I mean, you know, Mrs. Melrose, Debbie. I like to sit next to her when podcasting. It just...
I think you could put the shovel down and just go get the bulldozer, Adam.
Pardon?
What?
Anyway,
it's nice to be there because it's nice to be able to interact.
Yes, and have cups of tea and biscuits.
And have cups of tea and biscuits.
Having dogs' noses shoved into places. Yes?
Marmite?
Yes, you can have some Marmite.
I'm going to have some Marmite now.
I'm going to have some Marmite now. I'm going to have a...
I'm going to hope that I've got some in that bottle.
Marmite sandwich. And a glass
episode,
of orange squash. Yeah. All right. Anyway, so until next week, thank you for listening to the show. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye.
So long and thanks for all the fish.
Somehow I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, you were going to say that.
We'll be right back.
and get this thing off here with all this sticky tape.
Oh, my.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.